I want us to open the Word of God this evening in the book of 2 Kings in the chapter number 20. 20th chapter of the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to read just a few verses from God's precious Word. And let us think of this passage of God's Word as we're reading it together. We're just going to read a few verses here at the commencement of this, verse number 1, chapter 20 of 2 Kings. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how that I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add on to thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Seek the face of God at his throne. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee that thy word is truth, that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And O God, by thy power, we pray that even this night, that thou will write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray that, O God, that thou will speak to hearts, that thou will grant, Lord, that if there are those tonight that know not the Savior, that this night that, O God, that they might hear thy voice, and that they might turn in true repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. For thou hast said, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank thee for salvation, blessing in the nights that are past. But, O God, we pray that this night, that thou will truly meet with us in a mighty and a powerful way. Glorify thy name in our midst, we ask of thee. And we will give thee the praise and the honor and all of the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. When you study the history of the book or the people of Judah, you find that under the reign of Uzziah and Jotham, that they had brought Jerusalem, or they had brought Judah, to the heights of prosperity. They walked in the ways of the Lord, and God blessed them because of so doing. But sad to say, following them, another king took the throne. His name was Ahaz. The Bible tells us that Ahaz was an abominable king. He did that which was abominable in the sight of the Lord. The Word of God tells us that under Ahaz's reign, instead of prosperity, the Word of God says that the Lord brought Judah low. And God brought them down, and God humbled them. And the Word of God made that abundantly clear. It was because of the transgression of the king, and he led the people into evil. He encouraged the worship, not of God anymore, but the worship of Baal, and the setting up of false altars, and idolatry was abounding on every hand. They seized the sanctuary of God. They closed the doors of the sanctuary. Do you know, my friend, whilst it's true that Ahaz led the people to sin, but you know, Ahaz had his day. Because the day came whenever Ahaz had to close his eyes in death and go out into God's eternity to meet the God that he had defied when he was here upon this earth. And that day he stood before God, and another king took the throne at that time. His name was actually Ahaz's son. His name was Hezekiah. Now, when Hezekiah came to the throne, he was 25 years of age when he came to the throne.
And the wonderful thing about this, that whilst he was reared with an ungodly father, we find that Hezekiah was a young man that sought to walk in the ways of David, the ways of his father's God, and the ways of the God of Israel, the God of Judah. And so we find indeed that Hezekiah led the people back to the Lord. The Word of God tells us that under his reign, that first year, that he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He repaired them. The Word of God tells us that he cast down the high places that had been raised to Baal. He broke the altars of Baal. He cut down the groves. And so we see that the false altars of the false gods were destroyed under the leadership of this young man. In actual fact, the Word of God tells us that the Lord prospered whithersoever he went. In other words, God used this young man, even though he'd been brought up under an ungodly father. We thank God that God used this man, Hezekiah, under God, to be one who brought the nation back to God, and the nation back to revival, blessing, stirring of God once again. Now, not only did he start well, but he continued steadfastly for a number of years. And so things were moving on quite well. And then we find that two great testings came into his life. Because, as you know, in every one of our lives, there will be days of testing, there will be trials that we have to face. And so Hezekiah was no different than any other. He faced testings in the nation as well in his own particular life. In the 14th year of his reign, the Word of God tells us, now remember he's 39 then, and at the 14th year of his reign, we find that Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, they started to gather the outlying cities, the wall cities, the outlying cities in Judah. And they came against them, and the Word of God says they took them, 46 of them in all. And so we find that the news came to the king, the news came to Hezekiah, that the Assyrian army and the Assyrian forces were taking the cities of Judah. You can understand the natural fear that was in the heart of the king and in the fear of the heart of the people. But friend, it was at this time, under this test, that Hezekiah made a mistake. And the sad thing was this, he made a wrong judgment, because instead of taking a stand and seeking the face of God and asking God to show him what to do, Hezekiah decided to make an agreement with Sennacherib. And so he sent a letter to Sennacherib, and he asked him, Sennacherib was fighting at Lachish, and he asked him to stop warring. And if he would stop warring, that if he would put a tribute upon them, that he was willing to pay. And so therefore he capitulated, he compromised with Sennacherib, and he pleaded with him to stop the war. In other words, he sold out to the enemy that was gathered around. Now there's a word in that, and remember this. Remember Hezekiah took a stand for God and did that which was right. But remember, the best of men are only men and best. And so therefore here was a man. You know, friend, let me tell you, never get your eyes upon man. Because I can tell you, the best of men can disappoint you. And they can feel, because of themselves, they are nothing. They need the power of God to take a stand and to do that which is right in the sight of God. And sad to say that Hezekiah got his eyes upon Sennacherib, and the fear entered into his heart, and therefore he compromised, and instead of taking a stand for that which is right in the sight of God and seeking the face of God. You see, he made the request to the wrong person. Instead of going to God, he went to Sennacherib. He started to and had a deal with Sennacherib instead of crying out unto God. Now the Bible tells us that the king, Sennacherib, he put a tribute upon the people of Judah. Now it was a heavy tribute, because naturally he had got Hezekiah and the people of Judah where he wanted them. And the Word of God tells us that in this compromise that he made here, we find indeed it was a heavy price that he had to pay. Then let me tell you, you and I, if we compromise with sin, there's a price to be paid. Ask Lot. As we looked at one night in this mission, friend, the heavy price that Lot paid in his family, in his wife, and even in his daughters, and the rest of the family circle because of his compromise instead of doing that which is right in the sight of God. Ask David. Ask David, my friend, the price that he had to pay. Because sad to say was this, that David was a man after God's own heart, and yet David sinned with Bathsheba. And think of the price, because the child had died. And then think about Absalom, and how his heart was breaking. And as he walked after Absalom to the grave, he cried, "Oh, Absalom, my son, would God that I had died for thee." Friend, would God that he had done that which is right in the sight of God. And sad to say, Absalom went to a Christless hell. Why did David cry? Why did he say, "Would God I had died for thee"? Because David was ready and Absalom was not. And friend, the awful tragedy is this, if there's someone in your family and they're not saved and you realize they're going to hell. Your father, your heart's breaking. From the mother, your heart's breaking and crying out to God, "Oh God, save my family." And David realizes that now his son is too late. And he follows after him to the grave and he cries. And he looks into the grave and he says, "Would God," listen, "I gladly would have died for you, Absalom." But friend, he couldn't. He couldn't. And friend, let me tell you, if you're going to get your family saved, if you're going to seek them to seek the Lord, I'll tell you this, do more to get them and under the sound of the Word of God. Go the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth mile to get your family in. And urge them to come. The Word of God says go out and compel them to come in. And compel your families to bring them and seek to bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find the tragedy was this. And Hezekiah made a deal, and he paid a heavy price. You know what, listen, you know what the Word of God tells us? Go back to chapter 18 just for a moment, friend. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 18, look at verse 15 and verse 16. And Hezekiah gave him, that's unto Sennacherib, and he says, he gave unto this ungodly king all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah, listen, cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. That was the price that he had to pay. And so the king of Assyria put a burden upon him. Now, friend, before you criticize Hezekiah, and it's so easy to point the finger, remember this as well. The Word of God says, "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." You be very careful. It's so easy to point out the sins of others, but let me tell you, when you're pointing your finger at somebody else, remember there's three fingers pointing back at you. Be very careful. It is so easy, friend. It is so easy to sweep somebody else's doorstep. Sweep the dust in somebody else's kitchen. But just don't forget yourself. "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed." You just take heed lest you fall. "There but for the grace of God go you or I." But friend, notice this, that after he did this, this tragic thing, listen, all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord, even the very gold that was upon the temple doors and the pillars, and he handed it over to the king of Syria. But listen, that didn't satisfy him. You see, when the devil gets you, I'll tell you this, he's never satisfied. He's always looking for more. And when the devil takes you down, friend, and you start compromising with him, let me tell you, he's not finished with you. He'll push you further. And so he did. Because I can tell you this, whilst that Hezekiah thought that he was going to be spared, that Jerusalem was going to be spared, the Bible tells us this, that Sennacherib purposed to fight against Jerusalem. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied with what he got. And my friend, I can tell you this, if you think that your sin at this present moment is going to satisfy you, I can tell you this, the devil will want you to get further and further and further and deeper into sin. And so we find that Sennacherib purposed to fight against Jerusalem. And it is only God that stepped in. God stepped in. And you know, the Lord turned the tide. Thank God, you know, the old devil can overstep himself. And you know, God put courage back in Hezekiah's heart. You know what he did? He prayed to God. Would have been far better had done that the first time. Instead of making his request to Sennacherib, would have been far better he did it to God. But friend, now, thank God, he's praying to God. And he calls God's servant Isaiah. And he asks God's servant to pray as well. And you know, the wonderful thing is this, my friend. When they sought the face of God, God heard their cry. And God answered their prayer. And God delivered his people. Turn to 2 Kings 19. Look in verse number 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the king of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I love that. He spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. He turned his heart fully to God. And thank God, God heard. And God, look at verse number 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Syria. God says, I've heard. I've heard it. God heard his cry, and God answered his prayer. Go down to verse number 32. It says, Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Syria, He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And so God says, listen, I've heard your cry. And God says, I'm going to deliver you. You know, friend, what happened? God gloriously stepped in and an angel of the Lord came. Listen, 185,000 of Sennacherib's soldiers were slain by the angel of the Lord. You see, it was God was doing the deliverance. I'll tell you something else. Through that, Sennacherib went back home. And after some time back home, you know what happened to him? Two of his sons slew their father. And Sennacherib was dead. The man that lifted up the fist against God Almighty, friend, he's lying now cold in death at the hand of his own sons. I tell you before God, don't you take on God. I've said that before and I'm saying it again, friend. Don't you, young lad, ever take on God because you're not big enough. You might think you're smart. You might think that you're somehow, you're the one that's in control. You might think, my friend, that somehow there's no fear of God in your heart. I can tell you this, if God takes you on, he'll put it in. Because the Bible says it's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't you dare lift your fist to God Almighty. Sennacherib did. He took against God's people, Judah. He fought against Jerusalem or sought to fight against Jerusalem. You know what God did? 185,000 an angel of God slew. And then Sennacherib died himself at the hand of his own sons. Sennacherib died. And friend, he went to hell. He went to hell in his sin. In his sin. God has answered prayer. You know the Bible says, it says the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Proverbs 10 verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. I want to tell you, Sennacherib's name rotted. But God was still alive. But you know, another test came in. It was the same year. The 14th year. He was only 39. And God says to Isaiah, and that's where we come to chapter 20. And God says to Isaiah, listen, Isaiah, I want you to go And I want you to go to the king. And I want you to deliver a message from me. Now let me say this tonight in this gospel mission. I'm not delivering a message of a free church. And I'm not delivering the message of a mere man standing upon this pulpit that stepped onto the stage of time a short time ago and at any moment could be off it, having run my race. But I want to tell you, I have a message from God for you. And you better listen to it. Because this is God's message. No matter what age you are, remember this. This man was 39. He had reigned 14 years upon the throne. He had come onto the throne at 25, 14 years later. And God says to Isaiah the prophet, he says, Isaiah, I want you to go to a mission, on a mission, and I want you to go into the presence of the king of Judah, and you're going to tell him what I said. Thus saith the Lord. And friend, the message was serious. Now let me tell you, to be honest, there was no joy in this message that God sent him to deliver. It was a serious message, but he had to do it. Had to do it. Because you've got to be faithful. Let me say this. Does any man think that whenever our brother Lyle or brother Irwin or brother Barnes or brother McKee or myself stands in the pulpit and tells a man that if he dies in his sin, he's going to hell. You think that that gives us joy? You think, my friend, it's easy for a man to look into the eyes of his fellow man, perhaps someone who's lying there in the valley of death, and you see that person's about to step out into God's eternity, and you realize that they're not saved and they're not right with God, and you have to be faithful to tell them that if except they're born again, they'll never see the kingdom of God. You think it's easy? You think somehow the preacher finds joy? Tell a sinner that they'll die and go to hell and be there forever? I was only not 19 years of age when I was Dr. Paisley's associate in Belfast. And Dr. Paisley was away, and I got this message one evening to go to a certain home on My Lady's Road in Belfast. A young fellow just had got his license, and for his birthday, his 18th birthday, his mother and father had bought him a car. He had gone to Scotland because the parents not only bought him a car, some of his friends, they sent his friends and him to Scotland just on a little holiday to celebrate the 18th birthday. When he went there to Scotland, friend, that young lad crashed the car. And that young lad was dead. He was the only son of that family. I was just a young lad of 19. And I was sent on that mission to go to that door on My Lady's Road. I never forget it. Standing outside that door to ring that bell. To tell a father and mother that their son was dead. Their only child. I remember standing there and the lady opened the door. And when she saw me, she was so thrilled. I can still see the smile on her face. Ah, Mr. McCray, it's lovely to see you. Come on in. And I walked in through that door, friend, and I must be honest. I felt like a hangman. She was smiling that day, but the message I had would take the smile of her face and break her heart. I remember sitting down and she started to tend. She says, you know, calling her son by name, you know, our son was 18. Our boy was just 18. And you know, his daddy and I bought him a car. And it was a lovely, it was a new motor, and we saved so much because, you know, he's our only child. I was listening to this. He said, Mr. McCray, we got him tickets and some of his friends who went to Scotland. You know, if he only knew that you were here, oh, he would have loved that you'd have been here, that he had been here just to get you or to see you here in the house. And if he only knew, I thought to myself, if you only knew, I am here. And I had to sit her down, and I sit down and have something to tell you. I know about your boy. But your boy had an accident. Friend, you never saw a person's face change just like that from laughter. The question across her face, how is he? Is he all right? Is he hurt? I had to tell her he was dead. Friend, I tell you before God, I was only a youngster. But I had to tell something that broke my heart and broke that mother's heart that she would never be the same again. Do you think that brought me joy? Do you understand then why, whenever God said to Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah, I want you to go into the presence of this king. He's only 39 years of age, and I want you to tell him, I have a message from God for you. For you. And the king would say, Isaiah, well, what is it? What is it? Do you remember God had sent Isaiah the prophet with a message of deliverance? God had sent Isaiah the prophet to say, listen, Sennacherib is not going to come into the city. I'm going to deliver Jerusalem out of Sennacherib's hand. That was a message of joy. Friend, what had God to say? God said this. Set thine house in order, Hezekiah, for thou shalt die. And not live. What a message. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Listen, thus saith the Lord. And I want to tell you, when God speaks, friend, listen. In God's name, listen. It's God's word that we're reading tonight. It's the Holy God of heaven that's speaking tonight. Forget about the preacher. When God speaks, I beg you, young lassie, young lad, mother, father, granda, whoever you are, in the Lord's precious name, listen. Thus saith the Lord. I remember whenever I was with Dr. Fraser, we used to put out tapes, morning and evening. It was a little tape. And it says, we have a message from God for you. Well, that's what Isaiah had. He had a message from God for the king. 39 years of age. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Let's think of that last word, live, friend, live. Life. Just 39. Always the start of the journey of life. The Word of God tells us, way back in Genesis, that God breathed into man and he became a living soul. There are many parents here tonight. Listen, do you remember the first moment that you took your child in your arm and you looked in to their face? And they took those first little breaths. And they started here in this world, the journey of life. What a journey. What a journey. Now the Word of God says, we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. And whenever you look at that child and you see their little fingers, and you see their little nails, and you see their little toes, and you see them so perfectly made, friend. And then you see that little nose, and that little face, and those little eyes, and all of those things. It's true. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, the giver of life. Life. But he's not only the giver of life. God is the sustainer of life. Have you ever thought, listen, think of the blessings of God in your life. Remember what the psalmist says. When I consider the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what's man? What is man? That thou art mindful of him. Or the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor. Think of God's creation, friend. Stand out in the night and look up in the stars and the heavens. See the handiwork of God. Look at the little flowers so beautifully given and so beautifully decorated. Look at the hills and the valleys and everything else that God has made. And then look at man. What is man? Started the journey. One day, started to breathe. And God breathed into man. And he became a living soul. You know, you're breathing the breath that God gave you. It's not yours, friend. It's not yours. You're breathing the breath. God breathed into man. God gave you breath, and God has sustained you to this very, very present time. Not only think about it at its starting point, but think about its sojourn. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, life is measured by its depth, not by its duration. You know, I've known people, and they didn't live very long in life, but I'll tell you this, they packed that short life with many wonderful things for God. I've seen people, let me tell you, and they've lived maybe 100 years and they didn't pack as much in. And they wasted many of those years. Oh, the blessings of life. Have you thought about it? Every day, friend. Every day is a blessing. Have you thought about it? When you get up in the morning, and you can wash your face and you can dress yourself, put on your clothes. Yes, yourself. Have you thought about how richly blessed you are in doing that? You know there are multitudes in this province tonight that can't move themselves? They couldn't even wipe a tear from their eyes. I remember a lovely lady that used to be come to our church here, Kathleen McKinney. And when she was lying down there in Brooklyn Home, she would say to me, just looking over, she would say, Mr. McCrae, would you dry that tear? So tears were running down her cheeks. She couldn't lift a hand. But friend, you take it for granted, don't you? Until someday, you go to lift that hand and you can't lift it anymore. Or you go to move that foot and you can't move it anymore. And you wonder why. What's happened to me? I should be able to do this. But friend, you did it for years, but you took it for granted. You got up in the morning, you washed your face, maybe you grumbled that you had to do another day's work. And there you went out to do it, and then come back in the evening and sat down. And you sat and took your meal, but you did it. But go to the nursing homes tonight or the hospitals, and there are people lying there and they can't lift a fork to put one piece of food to their mouths. And if somebody didn't do it, friend, they'd be starved. Sojourn of life. Have you ever stood at the side of a cot Have you ever looked into the face of a young child, friend, and wondered what lies before them? The journey that they're starting. I'm looking back this morning on a journey I'm finishing. But friend, what about you? What is your life? Tell me, what's your life? What are you living for? Money? Big car? Fancy house? Bank account? All of those things in their own place can be all right, but friend, let me tell you this. This is what God's word says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. It's Christ first. It's God first. Because you see, friend, I said a moment ago, God breathed into man and he became a living soul. But that same God has not only the right to give, that same God has the power to take away. That's what Job said. Whenever tragedy struck his house, whenever his family were lying down in death and his heart was breaking, and he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. See what you're finding out, friend? You're not boss after all. Because you and I are only going to live as long as God purposes it. And when God says, it's time up, we go. Live. But notice what the message was. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Not live. Oh, life's a wonderful journey. Oh, the shadows across it. I was preaching a mission up in Omaha one time, and when I was preaching that mission, at the end of the service, there were several people indicated their desire to come to Christ. And then I said, as every head was bowed, just there's an inquiry room to the left of the pulpit. I said, would just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. And we sang a hymn. And I said, those that indicated their desire to come to Christ, would you just make your way into the little inquiry room? And I noticed this man and this woman staggering across in front of the pulpit. I went into the back room. The Reverend Harry Kearns was the minister at that time, an old man. When I went into the back room to talk to him, to lead them to Christ, Mr. Kearns said to me, Mr. McRae, I want to tell you the story. This dear man and this woman, they had a farm. They were farmers, they were milk farmers, and one day they were building a house. They were living in a mobile home. And as they were living in a mobile home, it was time for the milkman to come, and so the farmer went out. The farmer's wife went out to get the milk for the house, and the farmer was still working in the yard. And whilst he was out there, and whilst his wife was out there, something happened, and the mobile home caught fire. The three wee children were burned to death. Mr. Kearns said to me, I'll never forget the day whenever, he said, those three wee white coffins came up there into the front of the church and then taken down, and the father carried the coffin one by one. And then he took a little baby down to the little white coffin, and he put his head upon the little top of the coffin, and he cried, my little cuddles, my little cuddles. He said, it'll break your heart. He said, Mr. McRae, that's Mom and Dad here. They want to come to Christ. but no other hope. Only Jesus. And the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. They got theirs. And you and I'll get ours. Sometime. But have you an anchor? Notice very quickly the promise here. Thou shalt die. I tell you, it's a short statement. God hadn't a big long message, had he? Just three words to start with. Thou shalt die. And then, and not live. Six altogether. Thou, that's personal. Shalt, that's positive. You shall. Thou shalt die, that's powerful. It's a message from God. What a solemn address. Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe some loved one that you have, or perhaps you. And you walked into the doctor's surgery and you know you thought it was something simple. And then the doctor finally said these words, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. Maybe they said, doctor, how long have I? Maybe he said a week, or a month, or a year. But friend, let me tell you, you walked out of that surgery not dancing up with joy. For you and your loved one are staring death in the face. And the doctor says, I'm sorry. There's people here tonight and you don't want to think about it. You see, I'm young. Well, let me ask you this question. Let's cut the chase, friend. Listen, tell me, what age do you think you have to be today? Tell you, go across there to the graveyard and get the answer. Look at the little markings. The young. The child, the teenager, the mother, the father, the grandparent. So I ask you this question. Tell me, when do you think you're going to die? When do you think it's going to be? This message is not for you. No, this is somebody else. This is some of the old people that are sitting in this congregation. You say, listen, but surely listen, they've run the race, the 70 years, and you say, ah, but you can understand, so they have to go. Yes. We all have to go. We all have to go. God says, I shall die. And I say this clearly in this service tonight, friend. There's not a man or woman listening to my voice save the Christ's return. There's not a man or woman who's going to escape this eventuality. We all have to die. The Word of God said, is appointed. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Notice the words. It is appointed unto men. Not by them. You see, God has appointed a day. And God has appointed an hour. And I don't know when it is going to be. Listen, it says in God's word, a time to be born, a time to die. Who sets the time, friend? You? The glad is a Jew. Mother is a Jew. No, friend, it isn't. Don't fool yourself. A time to be born, a time to die. Job said this, God hath appointed a bound where we cannot pass. Notice, cannot pass. The old man in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 27 said this, yes, I am old, but he says, I don't know the day. I don't know the day of my death. But I'm too young. No, friend, you're not. There's not a person too young in this meeting to die. Ah, but preacher, I'm needed. I'm needed by my family. I've stood in 50 years with this congregation, friend, and I've heard kids cry and break their heart begging their mother to stay or their father to stay. They needed them. But death didn't care. And they had to go. Because God has the power to give life. You see, God made you. And whether you believe this or not, friend, you better take it in. You're His property. You're His property. And He gave you your soul. And God can say, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Every vein and nerve in your body, friend, traces the embroidery skill of a divine hand. You're made by God. Pharaoh cried out. Moses had a message from God to Pharaoh. Do you know what Pharaoh says? Who is this God? Who is this God that I should serve Him? I can hear the sneering of Him and the mocking and the jeering of Him. Who is this God? God says, I'll let you know who I am. I'll let you know who I am. I'm the God that gives you breath, Pharaoh. And let me tell you, He did. God let him know who he was. Because one day God says, Pharaoh, your soul is required of you. And big Pharaoh in Egypt, friend, had to give it up just like the pauper in the street. You remember the breath in your nostrils. He keeps it there. Not you. You owe it to God. You see, you and I are tenants in this body. But we are tenants at the absolute will of God. That's how long you'll stay. And you know what God can do? He can serve you notice to quit. He can. And He can do it tonight. Luke chapter 12. The man had got a problem. God had blessed him, but he thought it was all him. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. I'll say to my soul, I've made much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And my, he was my, I. And he was filled with it and pride. God wasn't on a story. Let me tell you, friend. You know who, when God came into the story, when God stepped into it. When the man had finished all his plans, he says, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And I'm the big fella in this society. And everybody's talking about me. Yes, they did, friend, when they walked behind his coffin. That's when they talked about him. Somebody said, well, what did he leave? He's such a big fella. He left all. He left it all. So will you. So will me. thou shalt die. And friend, the hounds of death, dear unconverted man, are upon your heels tonight. And you've got to think about it. What if God Almighty was to send the arrow of death across this tent tonight and find its bosom in your heart? Tell me. What then? What then? Thou shalt die and not live. But lastly, notice the preparation. Set thine house in order. That was the message from God. Set thine house in order. Notice, friend, set thine house, your house. Oh, I know there's people talking about others, and they might say, well, hi, he needs to be saved, and boy, she's down in the gutter, and she's deep down in sin. Let me tell you, you might be up and out, but if you're not saved tonight, you're going to hell just the same way as the drunkard and the gambler and the whoremonger and the immoral person is, or the one that's lying in the street. To the same hell. Set your house. Set thine house. Let me tell you, no priest or preacher or anybody else can do it for you. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are people tonight, and they're relying on their minister to get them through the pearly gate of heaven. Let me say to the congregation in Macrofelt, this preacher loves this people. And I've walked with you for 50 years. But I can't save one of you. It's only Jesus saves. Oh, I long that you would get right with God. I pray that God will save you. I pray that God will save you from hell itself. But I can. Look unto me, says God, and be you saved. It's only the Lord can save you. You've got to come as a sinner, friend. Acknowledge your sin and repent of your sin and turn from your sin. And turn to Christ and be saved. Set thine house in order. In other words, get ready. Preacher, I'm too young for that. No, friend, you're not. At any moment, God could call you out of this time and into God's eternity. And if you're not saved, you'll go to hell. Have you ever thought of that? What an awful thing to go from a gospel mission like this, where you've been warned again and again and again about your need of Jesus. And you close your eyes on death and go to the blackness and the darkness of the pit of hell forever. And there's no getting back. Eternity! Eternity either in heaven with Christ or eternity in hell without Him. I ask you in God's name, where are you going tonight? Is your house in order? Are you filling around with the things of life, the sins of this flesh and of this world, and walking away from the God of mercy and grace? Somehow you think that you can dance in your sin and get away with it, and somehow God will open the door to heaven and let you in at the end. And you fill your soul concerning eternal things. Old Voltaire, who was the atheist, Voltaire thought that he could mock God. He called Christ the wretch. Came to the end of the journey. He turned to the doctor that was looking after him, and he said to him this, I'll give you all I have if you save my life for 6 months. And the doctor says, I can't save it for 6 hours. And he cried out, then I'll go to hell, and you go to hell with me. Men and women, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's the harvest he reaps. I'm asking you to close. Is the house in order? If God serves you the notice to quit tonight, and he can, no matter what age we are, if God hands you to the notice to quit tonight, God said to the rich man, thou fool, with all your plans, the fields somebody else will gather in, the barns somebody else will fill. But friend, listen. God says this night, I stood at my father's grave. I looked from the bright churchyard down across the fields, and I saw the fields my father used to plough. And God knows this is true. I looked at the fields that my father bought and ploughed and raised his children on. And then I looked in front of me, and there was just a little plot. That's all he had. He left all the rest. And so will you. But where will your soul be? Heaven or hell? May God give you grace to choose heaven. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, bless your word tonight. Thank you for help given in the preaching of thy precious word. This is thy truth. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching it. Lord, save souls tonight. How do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, friend, are you saved? Are you? If God calls tonight, and remember, he'll make the decision. When? That's his right. They've got to give you life. And if God says tonight, young fella, young lassie, mother, father, older person, tonight, are you right, ready to go? You say, preacher, I'm not. Maybe there's someone backslidden. You say, I need to get back to the Lord. Yes, you do, friend. What do? You come as you are. Confessing of your sin. Confessing your sin. Acknowledging your sin before God. And turning to Christ and to Christ alone. He's the only one can save you. Oh, he's the only one can deliver you from your sin. And dear backslider, you've got to come back to him. What? You walk the road of confession. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and by his blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, just as I am. O Lamb of God, I come. We're going to sing a little verse. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And let's sing this together, please. Now, there's someone, you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. Bachelor, you'd love to be restored. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed, then just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it. Indicate that desire. Preacher, lead me to Jesus. O Lamb of God, come. Just as I am without one plea.
Is there someone tonight in this meeting? Father, mother, son, or daughter, in the closing seconds of this gathering, you say, preacher, lead me to Christ. You lift that hand right now. Is there one tonight in this gathering who beg you in God's name, get right with God. I come. Just one last verse, just as I am and waiting not.
Just as I am and waiting not.
Is there someone tonight in the closing second, friend, in God's name, run to Christ? Just lift your hand right now in the air. Indicate that desire. Oh, Lamb of God. Is there someone? Oh, Lamb of God, I come. I come. If you didn't get your hand up, you say, but I'd love to, please come and speak to us. I'll be sitting in a little room just at the outside the tent here. An inquiry room will gladly show you from God's word how you can know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Please don't go away. Just as others are going to the right, you just slip down to the left past the little blue toilets, and there's a little room there, the other end. Privacy. We'll show you from God's word how you can know the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. Don't let any go away without getting right with thee. Give them deciding grace. May they seek thee while thou art to be found. Call upon thee while thou art near. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear anxious soul, don't go away without the Lord. In God's name we beg you to come to Christ, be saved. May God give you in grace. And if God will, I'll be preaching tomorrow night. But friend, boast not yourself of tomorrow. God bless you.